The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Allow me to read the words of God. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. Let me start with a notice. Pastor Kang Yo-seop was approved as the co-pastor in charge of external affairs at the steering committee held on October 25th and began his ministry. The church will hold a vote of confidence a year later, so in order to enable the church members to get to know Pastor Kang, we have invited him to deliver the sermon on December 31st and on the fifth Sunday in March, June, and September. Two people had the following conversation in a TV drama I watched a long time ago. "My father is not here." "He didn't come back from work yet?" "Nope, he went to hospice." "Hostess?" "Yep, you know what that is, right?" "Of course, but how does he do it at his age? And as a man?" "I know, right? We're also worried about him." It was supposed to be a funny situation that unfolded because one person misunderstood hospice for hostess. For the words in Korean, there is only one different vowel. And even in the Korean dictionary, the words appear almost one after the other. These two words both refer to serving a person and have the same meaning of making the person being served feel comfortable. But these two words are quite contrasting. A hostess makes those she serves intoxicated with the night of the present, the night of this world. It makes one fall in love with the pleasures and sweetness of the night. So it prevents a person from recognizing that there is an eternal night, the last night of our lives. In the Bible, the word intoxicated is used in the sense of to be dominated or to be governed. When you're drunk with alcohol, you're controlled by alcohol. When you're into ghosts, you're controlled by a ghost. And when you're dominated by the Holy Spirit, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you're intoxicated by the night, you'll be ruled by darkness. On the other hand, hospice workers remember people's last night on earth. So, even though the current night may seem difficult and dark, they are reminded that this is not the end. So it helps them yearn for life in a place where God's light shines brighter than the scorching sun. So they serve to make their last moments on this earth more meaningful and rewarding. The Bible tells us that while the joys of life provide meaning and value to our lives, death provides greater meaning and realization. This is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. This is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. No one has been allowed by God to live forever on this earth. So everyone dies after living their time set by God. This is the absolute truth. And of course, this includes each of us. Therefore, only those who correctly recognize their end can spend the present meaningfully. Just as high school students who want to go to a good university or dream of a better future study much harder than students who don't and try to spend their high school years more meaningfully, people who know that there is eternal life after their last night on this earth and hope for it will live a more faithful life on this earth. Even if you live a very splendid life on this earth, and in the eyes of others, it seems like you have nothing to envy. Of course, there is no life in this world that doesn't lack anything. However, if you're not prepared for life after death, there will be a deep sigh in this life. In Luke chapter 16, there is a parable of a rich man and beggar Lazarus. One of the characteristics of Jesus' parables is that no names are mentioned. However, only in that parable does the name of a person, Lazarus, appear. The rich man wore purple clothes and fine linen. Purple clothes were made by dyeing with purple dye collected from shellfish, oyster shells, shrimp, crabs. And at the time, a worker would have to save up for at least a whole year without spending a single penny to buy such clothes. Such clothes could only be worn by royalty, nobles, and the extremely wealthy. And fine linen was the finest underwear made from Egyptian linen. The clothes were sold by weight, and it is said that they were worth exactly twice the price of gold. Someone who wears such expensive clothes thinks that they would also eat differently from others. So for the rich man, food was always a dazzling feast. He threw parties often, not just a few times a year or once every month or two, but every day. That's how much he had. On the other hand, Lazarus was the beggar of beggars. He was not a person who went from house to house to get food and returned to his place to eat, but was a beggar abandoned at the rich man's doorstep. The fact that he did not come on his own feet and was abandoned by someone means that he was a disabled person who could not walk on his own feet. Also, Lazarus did not live off food that the rich man left for him after his parties. He filled his hungry stomach with what fell from the table. At that time, there was no paper like today's napkins, and there were no forks, knives, or spoons. People mostly ate with their hands, so their hands got dirty. Rich households would leave a loaf of bread on the table as courtesy to their guests. People wiped their dirty hands with bread and then threw it away. Lazarus waited and ate this. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. If you have a sore on your body, it hurts just by touching it. But when dogs, not domestic dogs, but wild dogs came and licked the sores on his body, the pain must have worsened. Still, he didn't have the strength to chase the dogs away. The last night on this earth came to these two lives, those of the rich man and Lazarus, one by one. But after they died, a completely different situation awaited them. What awaited Lazarus was heaven in Abraham's arms, and what awaited the rich man was the pain of hell. In hell, the rich man asked Abraham for a drop of water to cool his tongue for a moment, but this was denied. The rich man and Lazarus lived contrasting lives in this world and found themselves in contrasting positions when they died. However, there are cases where even though people lived completely indistinguishable lives in the world, they faced completely different situations. This is Luke chapter 17, verses 34 through 35. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. On the surface, two people lying in one place and two women sitting across from each other, turning the same millstone, are living lives that appear similar. They are lying in the same place, doing the same thing in the same place. However, it says that there are people who are taken and that there are people who are abandoned. Two people lying in one place could be a couple, or a father and son. However, a husband cannot replace his wife's faith, and a wife cannot replace her husband's faith. Also, parents cannot replace the faith of their children, and children cannot replace the faith of their parents. When women of Israel walked the streets, they not only wore veils and covered their faces, but also wore long clothes that covered their ankles. However, when the men were not at home, farmers' wives took off their veils and exposed their heads, and also rolled up their skirts to expose their legs and grinded the millstone. So the two women who worked the millstone would have been quite close. These two women may be a mother and daughter, a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, or friendly neighbors. However, no matter how close people are, one person's faith cannot replace the other's faith. Like two people sleeping in the same room or two women working together at a mill, Christians and non-Christians can be completely indistinguishable on the outside. They all have similar family lives, go to work or school in the morning, do housework, and even engage in the same hobbies. However, depending on where you place your gaze and how you think about the Lord, you will face a completely different ending. An example that clearly shows this is today's passage. Three crosses stand side by side on Golgotha Hill. On the surface, there appears to be no difference between the three crosses. Each cross has a man hanging on it, and Their clothes seem to have been removed as well. In addition, all three people have nails stuck in the same parts of their hands and feet, so even their bleeding appearances are similar. However, on the cross of Jesus is a sign that reads, King of the Jews. According to the book of John, it says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, was written on Jesus' plaque. Now, the man crucified was a man named Jesus from Nazareth region, and his title and the name of his charge meant King of the Jews. In other words, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, was the King of the Jews and was put to death by crucifixion because he was the King of the Jews. It says that Governor Pilate wrote the sign himself. The high priests who saw the sign were taken aback and went to Governor Pilate and asked him to change the name written on the sign to the self-proclaimed King of Jews instead of the King of Jews. However, Governor Pilate flatly refused, saying that he wrote what he had to write. We do not know why Governor Pilate personally wrote and had the sign hung on the cross of Jesus. However, Governor Pilate, who knew better than anyone else that Jesus had not committed a crime worthy of being crucified, gave into the threats of the Jews and had no choice but to sentence him to death by crucifixion. However, by posting this sign, he may have tried to get revenge on the religious leaders and Jews. The important thing is that God used Governor Pilate's thoughts, feelings, and the situation as a channel to carry out his work. So, on the surface, the sign was written and posted by Governor Pilate himself. But in reality, it was the result of God's work. That is, God himself announces to all nations that Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified on the cross on Golgotha Hill, is the Savior of all people, who paid for the sins of all mankind. This is verse 39 of today's passage. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. At the foot of the cross, while religious leaders, the crowd of Jews and Roman soldiers were pouring out all kinds of ridicule and doing things that they shouldn't have done, an evildoer on the cross said this. He also had a hostile attitude toward the Lord. This is what he meant. If you are the King of the Jews and the Messiah, as these people mock, then please spare not only yourself, but also us. If you do that, isn't it good for you and good for us? I don't want to die like this. His words reveal a deep desire to live. In other words, he was afraid of death. These two evildoers are called robbers in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. Also, at the time, crucifixion was mainly given to people who committed treason against the Roman Empire. Therefore, many scholars believe that these two death row inmates may have been political prisoners. But even if the criminal who hung with Jesus was a vicious robber or committed a crime that people could not tolerate or rebelled against the Roman Empire, or was a person with strong political beliefs, it did not mean he was not afraid of dying on the cross. Even as the evildoer continued to curse and ridicule, Jesus did not say a word and hung on the cross. At that moment, another evildoer said to the evildoer who was slandering Jesus, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence?'" In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, two evildoers hanging on the cross together slandered Jesus. Then there was a change in the heart of one evildoer. When he suddenly thought about standing before God, who rules after death, he felt more afraid of this than death. If the former evildoer was afraid of death, the latter evildoer was afraid of God, who controls death. The second evildoer continues like this. This is verse 41. "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." What happened to this evildoer to make him change like this? After finishing the Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus prayed so desperately in the Garden of Gethsemane that his sweat dripped down like drops of blood. And after being interrogated 5 times and whipped, he is now hanging on the cross. But these two evildoers would not have been in the same situation. They had already been sentenced to death, and after being imprisoned for a certain period of time, they would have been crucified with Jesus. It is not known whether the two heard rumors about Jesus before the crucifixion, but it is likely that they also saw Jesus for the first time as they carried the cross. Jesus was crucified first on Golgotha Hill, and then the two men were also crucified. The book of Isaiah tells us about Jesus' crucifixion. This is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." According to this prophecy, Jesus would not have said anything apart from his 7 words on the cross, even after he was crucified and hung. If he had been an ordinary death row inmate, he would have said all kinds of offensive language and harsh words. But it must have seemed strange to this evildoer that Jesus did not say anything. The reason people watched crucifixions at the time was also because it was fun to hear prisoners on death row talking about their crimes. But Jesus did not say anything. Moreover, when this evildoer first saw the writing on the sign on Jesus' cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," he probably thought it was not worth considering. However, even as Jesus hung on the cross, he saw Jesus praying for the people who were nailing him and mocking him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He also saw Jesus rejecting wine mixed with gall. Wine mixed with gall was like an anesthetic and was the final mercy shown to condemned prisoners. No doubt the two evildoers took it and drank it as if they had been waiting for it. But Jesus refused the drink that relieved his suffering. That would have been completely incomprehensible to this evildoer. And the question would have been, why? This evildoer also saw that Jesus did not say a single word in reply despite the people's continued cursing and insults. Then, when he saw the sign hanging on the Lord's cross again, saying, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, he must have thought he might be the long-awaited Messiah. After observing Jesus for a short time, no more than 6 hours at most, the second evildoer became convinced that this was the one who was crucified for reasons different from their own. This is because Jesus did not have any of the characteristics of a typical death row inmate. Then this evildoer turned to Jesus and confessed. This is verse 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Of all the people in the Bible, this evildoer is the one who personally met Jesus Christ at the end of his life. This one word from the evildoer changed his eternity. Even though his entire life up until then had been defined as an evildoer, he also lived his entire life in the night of the present and the night of the world. But then after his last night on earth, he confessed that he wanted to become a citizen of God's kingdom, a place where there is no more night. Jesus said the following to him. This is verse 43. Jesus answered him, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus promised this evildoer that he would make him one of God's people in God's kingdom. The following story is in the book He Chose the Nails, written by Pastor Max Lucado. Thinking about how this robber saw the sin Jesus was charged for and came to accept Jesus as his Savior, he imagined the scene of being interviewed by an angel at the entrance to the kingdom of God. Of course, we don't know whether there is an entry interview in the kingdom of God or not. But the book is picturing that if there were, it would look like this. The robber stood in front of the screening table to pass through the pearly gate. The angel says, Please sit down, Mr. Robber. Tell me, how did you get saved? The robber says, All I did was ask Jesus to remember me when he comes to his kingdom. I had no idea it would happen so quickly. I see. How did you know he was king? Above his head was a sign that read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. I just believed what it said on the sign. And now I am here. The angel is writing in his notebook, you believed what it said on the sign. That's right, a man named John put up the sign. I don't think so. Was it another disciple named Peter? No, not Peter. So you're saying that it was another apostle. If you want to know, I'll tell you, that sign was Pilate's idea. Really? It was Pilate? The angel said, Don't be surprised. God used a bush when calling upon Moses and a donkey when rebuking the prophet. He also used a large fish when fixing Jonah's disobedience. There is no one that God cannot use. That's it. The angel stamps the paper. Take this and go to the next window. The robber leaves the room, and the angel tells him to follow the signs. Everyone who lives in the world is one of these two evildoers. There are only two types of people, evildoers who confess that Jesus is Lord, and evildoers who do not confess this. This is the fourth Sunday. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, a time to celebrate the Lord's Christmas and hope for his return. The Lord came to this earth to lead us to paradise, the kingdom of God, and to live as people of the kingdom of God. The person who was crucified with Jesus is called a robber or an evildoer. None of us has ever taken someone's property wielding a weapon. Also, you would never have climbed over someone else's wall to steal. So you might say, I am not a robber. However, none of us can say that we are not evildoers, people who do evil. If you say, I have never committed evil in my life, you're already committing the evil of lying. So, we are one of the two evildoers hanging on the cross. We all confess that the crucified King of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, is our Savior. Also, we are people who are considered God's people living in God's kingdom, even though we have no qualifications. How many people has the Lord worked through over the years? And how many times has he reached out his hand to make us confess, like the second evildoer, and give us eternal life? Now, let us live with Jesus Christ as our sole purpose, who came to this earth to give us eternal life. The Lord will definitely give us victory in the end. And even though we are insignificant, the Lord will use us as the light of Christmas that brightens this dark world. Let us pray. Father God, like the rich man and beggar Lazarus, we may live different lives in this world and after death may face situations that are completely opposite to our lives in this world. Or we may live almost similar lives in the world, like the two people who are lying in one place and the two women grinding the millstone, but face completely different consequences after death. We thank you for enabling us to realize this. No matter what kind of life we live, please help us not to focus on tonight, the night of the world, but on a life that remembers the last night on this earth and hopes for the kingdom of God. Two evildoers were also crucified with Jesus. Their lives leading up to crucifixion and their crucifixion were almost identical. However, their eternity changed depending on how they accepted the one who was crucified with them, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Jews. As we seek to resemble the second evildoer, please help us live with Jesus Christ as our sole purpose. May our life of faith be like the light of Christmas that brightens this dark world. Father God, this year too there was constant news of war and news of disasters, big and small. In addition, all sounds the sounds of all kinds of desires and sounds emanating from the speakers representing worldly values rang in our ears. People are interested in where economic power moves to and where political power flows. Also, the name of the Lord is not honored. However, we believe that God has renewed and changed the world through people who made the Lord their purpose and obeyed the words of the Lord. May each of us be that person. So please help us reveal through our lives what grace you have bestowed upon us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.